very busy. Many important matters require king's attention.
I'm king now. King, 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 king now.
I am king.
I am
king.
I am
kiss it.
I am
kiss it again.
I am
turn.
Your fingers or your
king
tongue.
Doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plan.
He's one,
but
your fingers or your tongue.
I am the king. I'm telling mother.
Welcome to the Joffria Podcast. My name's Bubba. With me, as always, is Heath and Glenn. How you doing, guys?
Wait, hold on. No, it's Catfish. I'm back.
Who are you?
Catfish. Don't you remember? I did this podcast with you about 32 times in a row, and I missed one.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, it was the best one,
yeah.
The best episode.
Last week was great. Catfish, people didn't get to hear your rating for last week's episode, so do you want to give this to us? What did you give last week's episode?
I gave last week's 9.5 Rampaging Giants out of 10. Some things happened that I was very excited about. First
okay.
of all, for the first time ever,
right.
we saw John as heroic. He's kind of
your first time.
Well, yeah, I see. He
okay.
seems kind of mopey, even
I mean,
when he's
he
even when he's
Castle Black. He did
right,
stuff.
But even when he's kind of swashbuckling, he's still
yeah.
a little mopey. Like I felt him really as a strong leader this time.
This time,
I thought it was great. Of course,
okay.
he is. Then I come back to the podcast and all he's doing is moping around.
Oh,
I lost all these people. I don't need his false modesty, okay? You save 5,000 people. The rest of them wouldn't pay any attention to you. What are you going to do?
What You're am lucky I going to
do? They're lucky they didn't kill you and eat you for dinner. All right? I liked what happened with Danny and Tyrion
okay.
because I was afraid it was going to take too long. I
sure.
wasn't super excited about that scene. I felt like that scene could have been written better between them.
It yeah,
was
in
simply,
hindsight,
it was
almost
wonky.
too easy for them to get together. But that was
it's
last week.
It's not just that
week.
It wasn't too easy.
Yep.
Tyrion's the wit and wisdom of Tyrion was a little lacking in that scene.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about last week? But we got to get to this week, episode 9, The Dance of the Dragons.
Last thought on that week. The fight was breathtaking.
Hardhome was awesome,
and I really felt like
yeah.
you know we've been complaining about the build up all year.
Right.
I felt like that was worth it. I could sit through 7 hours of build up. If I'm going to have that kind of payoff.
Okay, well now let's get to the typical payoff. This was episode
right,
9 of
exactly.
season 5, which is the typical payoff. And guys, we're going to be talking about this week's episode, The Dance of Dragons. So Catfish, let's hear your ranking out of 10. What do you give this penultimate episode of season 5?
I'm going to give it 7.5 fully clothed prostitutes displaying their wares in a whorehouse out of 10.
Oh, my goodness. That's kind of 7.5 is middling, I'd say. What thoughts, Catfish?
It is a little middling. The Dragon Ex Machina, I was calling for it as it happened. I'm
right.
like, where are the dragons?
Sure.
That fight was – I was frankly surprised when the rebels sort of made their appearance.
When
that
the harpies
was
came out.
Exciting.
I liked that moment.
The harpies,
yeah.
the harpies was great because they come out of nowhere and all, suddenly there's 3,000 of them. She kind of abandoned the rest of her peeps. I guess that's okay. But apparently they make it out anyway. I guess that just takes the fight out of the once we have the Myrinese barbecue, it kind of takes the fight out of the harpies.
Yeah, I'm going to give this – well, you gave it 7.5, Catfish.
Yes, I did.
I'm going to give this a 7. 7, what I like to call double M's out of 10.
Double M's?
Marinese munchies.
All right.
The dragon, you know, is like, once you start munching on these harpies, you can't have just one. You got to munch on many harpies.
That is true. They are double stuffed.
And so there were things in this episode I liked. I was genuinely
yeah.
shocked about what happened to my boy Hisdar getting stabbed. I did like the moment when in the fighting pit, when all those harpies appeared, like the reveal of them was great.
The reveal was great.
Of harpies was great.
Amazing.
But Dorne still just doesn't have drama, I guess. Jaime and Bronn's adventure down in Dorne. And
yeah, that was kind of quick. And what's funny is,
yeah,
I think they're going to be surprised when he goes back to the small council to find out exactly how small it is.
Right, yeah. Prince Tristane might be the only member. He's like,
guys, can we come to order? Guys, is this it? Just me? Okay.
And so general thoughts is, I'm going to say it. I think this was the weakest episode 9 there's ever been.
Oh, for sure.
Season 1 saw Baelor. Season 2 saw the great Battle of the Blackwater.
Right.
Season 3 saw the tragic Red Wedding. Season 4, last year's Season 9, had the great Battle at the Wall. And I know some people were let down by it, but this, to me, is really the only substandard one. It had some good moments, but substandard episode 9.
Yes, but I think I don't think you could judge it against other episodes 9s because their surprise was giving us the big excitement in episode 8. Okay, so you can't let's judge last week's episode against other episodes 9s.
Oh,
they're trying to break out of a little bit of a pattern so that you're not like, okay.
You say they're trying to break out of a pattern. To me, it still feels like they're trying to. Come on. When you have a battle like that, when you have the dragons do that, when you have somebody fly off riding a dragon, these are still spectacular sights that you would think would be in episode 9.
I agree, but.
But.
I think that they think rightly.
Okay.
That their episode 8 this year was an quote unquote episode 9.
Well, way to read their minds, Catfish.
Well, I mean, they poured so much money into that last episode.
And they spent a lot of time shooting. You know, Catfish, before we break down this episode, The Dance of the Dragons.
Talk to me, Bubba. Break it down.
Let's do some housekeeping. Number one,
okay.
I know this happens every season. As the season goes along, we get more and more listeners. And so listeners,
especially when I'm not on the podcast.
That is always our most popular episodes. And so listeners, if you're brand new to the Joffria podcast, welcome. Thank you so much for finding us.
Thank you.
I want to pitch some of our previous episodes so you can really get a taste. I know people join in and they may miss some of our kind of runners, some of our things. So I'm going to pitch. I encourage you to go download our very second episode. It's called Episode 2, Joffrey Love. That'll give you a good taste of what we do here on the Joffrey Podcast. Also, Episode 6, where we read some of the King Joffrey POV chapters from A Game of Thrones.
Those are my favorite, the POVs.
And another good one, if you just want to get a taste of our podcast here, download episode 10, The Princess and the Queen. We review that novella by George R.R. Martin. We do The Wit and Wisdom of Tyrion Lannister. We also have the holiday special. That's a really good one.
Oh, the holiday special is good. Yeah, I'll let me pitch that because just in a short period of time, you know, people think we spend months in the studio doing these podcasts.
We do.
In a short period of time, we did some good musical spoofs. Also, people need to go back because we're kind of missing a little bit of the heart of our podcast now that Joffrey's not on the show because we do this show.
This podcast.
For Joffrey.
His Grace, King Joffrey, alive in the books, dead in the show.
Yeah.
Everybody,
but alive in our hearts.
That and other body organs. That's where he's always alive. All right, so folks, if you enjoy Catfish and I and the whole team here at the Fit and Trim Network, please download some of our other podcasts. If you're a fan of the novel Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, BBC America is about to unleash on this great kingdom of America. They're a 7-part adaption, and it's a podcast we do called Lost Hope. So go to iTunes, download Lost Hope. Even though it hasn't started yet, we've got two preseason podcasts.
We already did
love.
Two, and it hasn't even started yet?
It hasn't even started yet. It's going to start next weekend.
Oh,
it's going to be a busy weekend for us because it's
really
the first weekend of Jonathan Strange, Mr. Norrell, and the final, the post-penultimate episode of Game of Thrones Season 5. We're going to have two podcasts out next week, so go there. Also,
yeah, please, please listen to those podcasts because I got tickets for the Playboy Jazz Fest, and so my girlfriend is very upset. Ms. Catfish is very upset that I'm not doing that and I'm doing the podcast instead. So please listen because I need to get something out of this.
All right. Also, if you're a big fan of FX's The Strain, that TV show, we have a Got Your Milk podcast. Please download and listen to that.
Oh, that'll be starting soon, won't it?
Oh, yes. We cannot escape. Also, international listeners, I'm coming to Dublin. Merry old Dublin.
What?
I am of Scottish descent, but I'm going to betray the plaid and go with the green and go to Ireland. I'm coming to Ireland this August. Beginning of August, everybody, I'm going to need some. If you're a big fan, I will crash on your couch.
You need a Joffrey podcast meetup.
Right. That's a great idea. Folks, please keep giving us.
You may have to rent a huge space for that. We are big in Ireland.
A big space for myself and King Joffrey and my Joffrey-sized ego. Okay. Hey, guys, we got some great international iTunes reviews, which we're going to read at the end of this show. Also, new U.S. iTunes review. We're going to read some of the great Twitter reactions we've had after this episode.
Oh, man.
And as we go into this episode, Catfish,
talk to me.
I am going to pull one last thing from last week's episode.
Okay.
In that we had the scene where he's like, my ancestors would spit on me if I deal with the crows.
Right.
And then the female wildling who ended up dying in that great battle.
And then coming back.
Yeah. She said, fuck them. They're dead. And so what I was, you know, it was like, hey, they're dead. Let's all, on the side of the living, let's get along.
Right.
Do you think, and people tweeted us, let us know what you think. Are you good if that includes, hey, Boltons, you're on the side of the living. Come help us fight. Stannis, you just did a, you know, you just did a terrible, tragic thing to your own daughter. We'll forget it. You're on the side of the living. Help us keep fight the White Walkers.
Well,
listeners, are you going to be cool with a phrase suddenly joining in to fight the White Walkers?
Well, I personally think so, because I think it's one of those movies where the aliens show up and then everybody joins together. Russians hand in hand with Americans, hand in hand with the Chinese, hand in hand with the Balinese.
Okay, so the way you can tell us your thoughts on this is you can reach us on Twitter. My name is Bubba. You can reach me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim, at Fit and Trim on Twitter. Or
you can reach me, CJGman67. That's your 67th favorite, CJGman.
Oh, heck yeah. All right, well, we've gone on long enough. Let's jump in.
Oh, so we're done now?
Yeah, we're done. Okay, so we're going to jump into this episode 9. The Dance of Dragons. And we begin at Stannis' camp. And it does look pretty frozen over. Oof. It looks pretty miserable.
Tough.
And we see all these tents. I don't know how you can stay warm in just a tent like that.
No.
If you can't have a fire
within
it.
Well, I know. Yeah. If you light up the whole tent, you can stay warm for a brief period of time.
So on last week's episode, we saw Ramsay pitch to his father. Ramsay Bolton pitches. He says, hey, give me 20 good men. And I'll take care of these southern aggressors. We zoom in on Melisandre, who's staring into the flames. And I think she gets a vision of this in the flames because she knows something's up. Sadly, that vision came a bit too late, Catfish.
Well, let's just say this way. If her tent was going to go on fire, she'd be out of it. Everybody else, they're screwed.
So she steps outside, and suddenly we see these Bolton boys have really, for 20 men, they're able to cause a lot of panic. We have a bird's eye view of this, a crow's eye view, a raven's eye view, and we see they are starting fires everywhere really quickly.
Well, what's smart is they do it in a bunch of different places.
Right.
Well, everybody lights their fire, and then you set 20 of them.
Right.
Well, yeah, you set your watch to go down to two. Oh, wait, hold on.
A shot of a horse on fire.
Wow.
God, the Boltons are terrible. Mm-hmm. They flay people. They burn horses. And then we go to the next morning, and it just... Davos is giving the bad news.
Then we find out the bad news is that's the worst news. The food is the worst news.
Right. They don't have enough food to go forward or back.
Yeah. They don't have enough food. They lost most of their horses. And I have to say, you know, viewers and mostly yourself give me a hard time for not remembering things from seasons past. Because of all the excitement from last week, it took me a while to remember that this was Roos taking care of business, that it was Ramsay who decided, let me take my boys out here. But, this was super smart to do.
So Sir Davos, the hand of the King Stannis, he's already pitched, let's go back to the wall. And he's kind of pitches it again, even though he feels like they don't have enough food to get back. But Stannis, who just an episode or two ago was like, burn my daughter, are you nuts, get out of here. It's like this latest setback.
As soon as it happened, I thought, yeah, I guess we're going to go through with this.
Yeah,
I was a little worried. I thought maybe we wouldn't go through with it. We can talk about that when it happens. But once
Stannis looks over and there's his crazy devout wife to the Lord of Light, Selyse, and the Lady in Red, Melisandre, it was foreshadowing later in the episode This was going to end bad.
And you probably should drink. When we come to Burning Children, it's drink time.
All right, so let's just stay in the Stannis story. I know they cut away right then to go to the wildlings getting through the wall. But let's get to...
Spoiler alert.
All right, let's get back to our boy Stannis. And Stannis is in his tent. He's looking at his little map markers. And
carved?
Right. Sir Davos, hand of the king, and tradesmen of fine-crafted map markers.
Carves all that stuff.
Right, and Stannis, he just, you can see it on his face, where a second ago he said no, and he's made up his mind. And you called it during the episode, Catfish.
You did.
Were like, the only reason why he's getting Sir Davos out of here is Sir Davos always talks reason to Stannis, and Stannis didn't want to hear reason, I guess.
Well, not only that, that actually wasn't what I thought it was. I thought he got him out of there because he knows how much Davos likes Shireen.
Oh, right.
So I thought he knows mm-hmm. that Davos would try, would have done anything. They would basically would have had to hold Davos back. He might have fought people. That's how much he loves Shireen. So it was just like when we got rid of our, we got rid of our boys in King's Landing, sent them to Braavos, get them out of the way.
Oh, you mean Mace Tyrell? When Cersei sent Mace Tyrell, thank you for allowing me to say the characters' names. There, Captain.
I want you to try and pick it out and figure it out.
Okay, that's good. Davos, even he knows what's up, don't you think? He's like, you know, anybody could deliver this scroll. Stannis is like, no, it's got to be the Hand of the King.
He's a little suspicious.
Davos is like, let me take the queen and, the princess with me. Stannis is like, no.
He wants to keep the first digit on his fingers. So he only pushes Stannis so far.
We have this panning shot of Stannis's men as they're getting bold. And why
it's
do you
snow
think,
soup time, ladies and gentlemen.
And why do
time
you think,
for the snow soup.
I think it's remains of charred horse.
Oh, yes.
Cream of American Pharaoh being served here at Stannis' camp.
Oh.
Why do you think they showed us all his men starving? Just to show us how dire it is, to maybe get us to see where Stannis is coming from?
Yeah, I mean, that's their only choice. If they're going to do this hideous thing, of course, they've got to rub it in by having one nice last scene with Shireen. One last scene for the actress's reel. She can put on her reel.
Oh. So she is reading a book called, the episode title name, The Dance of Dragons.
Right.
And it's about this civil war infighting between two Targaryens for the throne in the past. And they tell this great story, which maybe reminds us, hey, you don't always see dragons in the show. Dragons used to be a thing.
They
about
used to
this
be a
knight,
thing.
He yeah. mirrored up his shield so he could get close. Didn't quite work.
No, it was barbecued knight.
What's interesting, in Davos and Shireen giggle about this person being roasted to death by, yeah, you know, in that case, by a dragon.
Foreshadowing.
Right? Do you think Shireen thinks in 100 years people want to giggle about what happened to her? I don't think so. It's so tragic. Davos reminds us that he had a son who also burned alive, in that case, in evil Uncle Tyrion's wildfire back in the Battle of Blackwater. And he gives Shireen this little toy, and you know, this is...
They also, I think, do this scene to make her... To show everyone thinks she's nice and everything.
She is nice.
Right? Yeah, you say that, except he gives us a nice gift, and and what's her response to it?
I want another one.
Give me another dough. Yeah, fine. You know what? Maybe not. Maybe you're not that nice.
Oh, you are stone cold. Yeah, this is a warm scene. This is like the scene when the cop says, I'm about to retire.
right. We've seen this scene before. This is what happened with the maester as well, right. Master Aemon. Yeah, and the other thing is we see here another part of their relationship.
Yeah.
That he was too stubborn to listen to his son to read, but she taught him how to read. And so that's how close he is to her. So he's got to be gone. That's one thing you've got to wonder is...
What do you wonder?
Well, he's stuck through Stannis through thick and thin. This might be a bridge too far for Davos.
Oh, you don't? I would think it would be. I think it'd be like, screw this. And he's there at the wall. He could just leave and say, enough is enough.
Well, he won't find out till he comes back.
Well, maybe he'll never find.
I mean, I'm a little surprised later on that it hasn't gotten to Dorne what's happened with Cersei.
Oh, that's a great, you know, or, well, no, I guess I was going to come up with, or maybe the Martell leader there, Doran Martell, is trying to keep it, you know, trying to keep his cards close to the vest with Jaime and doesn't want to say anything.
I would think that would put him in a kind of a position of power, though, actually. Okay. But, you know, whatevs.
So, all right, so let's finish with this most painful of storyline right here at the top.
Oh.
Stannis comes in and... He has a bond with his daughter. How could he do this, Catfish?
Well, basically, this is what the scene is about. Him justifying that, you know, when you have a destiny, you've got to fulfill it in any way you can. And I guess if you want to be generous to Stannis, you could say, well, look, he saved his daughter years and years ago. She was going to have a horrible life, a horrible fate. And so she had a few more years of good times until
and then had a horrible fate.
It got super hot.
He saved her from a horrible fate. So many years later, she could have a different horrible fate.
You know, I really grew to care for Stannis this season and get on his side, and now basically he can go screw.
So he comes into his daughter Shireen's tent, and he asks her about the Dance of the Dragons. And he's trying to say, you know, who would you choose?
Right.
Would you choose this terrible Targaryen or that terrible Targaryen? And Shireen...
She goes off the board.
Right. That wasn't one of the options, Shireen.
Write-in candidate.
Right. But I think, quote-unquote, maybe she chooses the path some people, now that Joffrey's gone, would suggest we choose. And
which
that's
is,
none of the above.
Yeah.
And Stannis is trying. He's trying to kind of rationalize it. Dare I say it? Maybe is he trying to be nice with her because this is her last moment on Earth, or is he trying to get her to almost give him permission?
I think he's trying to give her permission. And, you know, basically this just shows you, make sure you read the entire contract.
The entire contract.
Before you sign it. Because she says to him, I will do whatever it takes. Use me, whatever it takes. Oh. And he says, oh, okay. All right. Read the full contract, kids.
And so later... we see her brought out. He gives her a hug as he says goodbye to her.
And he says, forgive me.
He says, forgive me. Do you think she will?
You mean as one of her last dying statements?
Or maybe her spirit will forgive
her. So I don't know what he tells her, but then we see her walking, and she's got her hand on her knife like, I'm going to go and take care of business. What do you think she's going to do? They didn't even give her
a hood or a cloak. She has to go out into this cold. And
She'll be warm in a bit.
Catfish, you are being especially, I want to say cold, but that's not right. Especially, you're throwing hot balls at...
You should say, don't throw coals on that fire.
Right, you're throwing heat at this poor girl. And this scene...
Okay, and it splits, just like Army of Darkness. There's people, and then there's a huge split. And then the last person you want to see,
right,
basically in this kind of situation, is Melisandre.
And she tells her it'll all be over soon, princess. So... this is just horrific. A couple episodes ago, Catfish, you and I were talking about how they nearly raped Gilly. They beat up Sam. Like, we've had happened to Sansa. There's been so many brutal things. How many terrible scenes like this are we going to have to watch?
Well, apparently, we're not going to have to watch any more with Shireen. I can tell you that. I mean, I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm just saying, like, I mean, there's you know,
everybody, tweet your hate at Catfish. His handle is at CJGman67. CJGman67.
If you're going to send some hate, send it to CJGman66. That bastard took my handle.
Okay.
Listen, you know, and then what's interesting that happens here, the really surprising thing that happens here is...
Are you going to say the reversal?
The complete reversal, because stony-faced mom...
Selyse
shows up and it starts explaining to him. She's giving more rationalizations
right.
to Stannis.
She sounds like she's all for it until she actually sees it.
A few episodes ago when this first got introduced and I talked about how horrible it was, you joked at the time,
it
and I'm
wasn't
sure
a
you
joke.
Got much
I,
of hate.
I thought it was serious.
You joked at the time that Selyse would be the one who would light the fire.
Right. I thought she would. I thought if anybody was going to threaten, let me just say the way I thought this would go down.
Please, tell me one time.
Because I guess, listeners, you might be able to figure this out. This did not happen in the books. Shireen's still alive in the books. But the way I assume this would
go... Well, she's not the only one in this episode that's still alive in the books.
That's completely correct. But anyway, the way I thought it would go down is that Selyse would see how desperate it was, and she would try to burn Shireen, and then Stannis would step in and say no. Instead, like you're saying, it's a complete reversal.
Yeah.
Selyse was for it. You know what, Catfish? Let's go through some of her just absolutely preposterous rationalizations here. As before the,
well,
before
you know, they
the fire
say
is lit.
You can get through life, get through a day without food or drink, but not without a good rationalization.
She says, if we make this sacrifice, Selyse does. You know what? Actually, I think Selyse is okay until Shireen yells mother. And then she says we can't. I thought... it was the fact that the pyre was being lit was the moment. But remember, Shireen keeps yelling, father, father, I want to see my father. And
right,
she's
he
totally
does nothing.
Right. And he is just stone cold Stannis. But as soon as she starts screaming, mother, mother, that's when suddenly Selyse, who had been a complete devout nut to the Lord of Light.
Not just that, but not just devout to the Lord of Light, but every time we've seen her, she's been a horrible mother.
Yeah, that's correct. Solis said, once again, it's what the Lord wants. It's a good thing.
A great thing, she says.
Yeah. Once we make this sacrifice, it'll be great for us. If we don't act, we'll starve here. But then once
all
again,
of us, she says, yeah.
Shireen yells out, mother. And that's when Solis breaks down, and Solis runs through the soldiers, and the soldiers stop her. And the soldiers, they have some cutaway shots that a lot of the soldiers, even if theoretically they agree with the Lord of Light and they've seen other people being burned alive, all of these people would have seen Mance Rayder burned alive at the first episode. This is tough for them.
They have got to wonder, what is the deal with burning people?
Right. If these soldiers haven't converted, and I would assume most of them had, Stannis was burned his brother-in-law. He burned Shireen's uncle and Solis's brother, remember, last season in season 4. Okay, so Catfish, this is just horrific. Listening to this poor child scream is horrific. But do you accept that this will work? Do you accept, remember a couple episodes, Melisandre said, I've seen the Bolton banners being lowered at Winterfell. She's seen herself walk along the battlement.
But as you noted at the time, she right. didn't say anything about where Stannis was during this period.
Right.
I will say this, and this is the thing that is, I believe that Melisandre is a little overpowered.
You think she needs a comeuppance? What do
no,
you mean?
No. What I mean is that, I mean that she has so much power that it sort of upsets the storytelling a little bit. I mean, the fact is, all she needs, you know, that she can have one of those smoke babies and wipe somebody out with anybody seeing. She just
has... Catfish, you keep calling it a smoke baby. This isn't Lost. This is a shadow baby.
Okay,
this
the shadow
is...
baby.
Okay, can you please, fine. You don't know anybody's fine. Name, can you get shadow, one thing correct?
The shadow baby, fine, the shadow baby. Yes. And so I think she's just so overpowered and so in that... I believe she can do anything she wants to at any time. And so the fact that Stannis has any problems whatsoever is a little bewildering to me, because at any time Melisandre can pretty much do whatever she wants. She just needs a little bit of King's blood and a fire.
Well, you say that. What she wanted to do a couple of episodes ago was burn Shireen, and she couldn't. It wasn't just that she can get what she wants. It's that she needs Stannis in a place where... hope is lost, for lack of a better word, and he doesn't see another solution. He wasn't going to burn his daughter. I believe Stannis from a couple of episodes.
Right, but what I'm saying is...
Yeah, explain it correctly this time.
No, but what I'm saying is she could have done that at any time. Obviously, she needed his approval, but...
Correct.
In other words, all she needs is a little bit of King's blood, and boom, she could take down anybody at any time. So that's what I mean by overpowered. The fact is her powers are so strong that they kind of upset the balance of the story, and... For her not to have so much power, you just have to, like, have her not exercise it.
Okay.
Which seems a little awkward.
All right. So if this ends up, it's always been all year.
I believe it. They answered your question.
All year, if it ends up being the Boltons versus Stannis,
mm-hmm.
who do you want to win? Well, listeners, tweet at us. Let us know who you want to win. Catfish, if this is a battle next week, who do you want to win?
It's got to be Stannis. I don't want the Flayers to win.
Okay.
And what about you? You are in favor of who are you for? The Flayers or the Burners?
What terrible choices.
Well,
I guess somehow I'm still Stannis. I don't know how, but I'm still Stannis.
I mean, you know.
I'm still Stannis.
Yeah.
All right. I can't believe I'm singing that after he burned his daughter alive. Let's edit, folks.
We need a little levity. It's okay to have a little levity after seeing something as horrible as that.
All right. So let's finish up in our final wintry climate, and that is Jon Snow, Tormund Giantsbane, the Wildling Women's two children, the giant.
Yeah, there's only one left.
Apparently. But they all come back to the wall, and we have this kind of great stare down. John and all these wildlings. You know, when you line up 5,000 wildlings, that looks like a lot, don't you think?
It's a pretty good crew, and they leave a lot of trash behind.
And then you have, of course, Alistair Thorne up on top of the wall. Did you have any doubt that he would open the gate, Catfish?
I did have a huge doubt. In fact, I'm still confused in his mind why he opened the gate. I guess that just goes to show his character is that the Lord of the Night's Watch is to be obeyed, which is
the
a
Lord
little
Commander. Yeah.
Lord Commander of the Night's Watch is to be obeyed, which is a little surprising to me. I thought by this time, honestly, and we talked about this earlier, that Samwell and Gilly would be gone and that the Night's Watch would have totally converted away from John's side.
Well, one of the things you thought that would happen, I have to be honest, one of the things the show occasionally just doesn't make sense. John keeps saying, hey, we need people. We can't defend the wall with 50 people. Yet he let Stannis, who had an army, just leave. He even kind of badgered Stannis to leave. He's like, you're eating too much food. Leave.
Right.
Then here we have 5,000 wildlings march through the gate, come into Castle Black, and march right out of Castle Black. We can see here's a shot of them leaving Castle Black to go to the gift, to farm the gift. Hey, great job farming in this snow, this snowstorm.
Well, but a good point was made somewhere where I can't remember where exactly I saw it.
Sure.
I mean, these people have lived north of the wall. They know how to produce food in winter. If anybody can, they do it. They do it.
Let's hope.
Yeah, so there they are. I thought they were storming in, but you're right. I mean, I knew that they were. He was going to send them immediately to the gift.
Right.
This looks like them coming in to me.
Many of the people here, many of the Night's Watchmen, they are making faces. They don't like this at all. And then with our friend the Giant comes through, there are a lot of people who are just like, I don't like this. But
and your favorite,
they let him through.
Your favorite boy, Ollie, boy, how many times do we have to see his disapproving look before somebody smacks it off his face?
John smiles at Ollie like, hey, I'm back, Ollie. I did it. And Ollie leaves. You know what, kid? Get with the program. If Alistair Thorne can get with this, you can't, kid. Now, admittedly, Alistair Thorne, he opened the gate, so he did what he was supposed to. But once again, he is counseling against this whole thing.
Now, I can understand him counseling, but if I was John, I would have said, yeah, let me tell you exactly what I saw and what we're going to be dealing with before you give me a hard time.
Yeah, Alistair Thorne hates it. He's like, you got a good heart. That's going to get us all killed.
Yeah, you know what's going to get us all killed? The White Walkers. That's what's going to get us all killed. That's what I would have said to him.
But Alistair Thorne, he's been named first ranger, and rangers are about ranging beyond the wall. He also...
You think it's time to send him on a business trip?
Yeah. Also, he's talked in the past about ranging beyond the wall. In the first season, he talked about, oh, you think you're cold now? You thought you had your cold winter 9 years ago in your castle, Jon Snow. And so he's been beyond the wall. He must have seen some things that tell him, hey, there's some craziness out there.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, in the first episode of the first season,
he talked about eating his buddies.
Right, but he didn't talk about seeing the White Walkers. The very few people have seen the White Walkers. And I got to be honest with you, if you're up in the north and you're tough,
what do you mean if?
Okay, I'm sorry. You're up in the north.
Right.
You're tough.
Thank you for
saying
that.
Someone tells you you're going to have to worry about the something, and you're going to tell them, you know what, I've dealt with a lot of stuff. But the minute you see the White Walkers, that changes the equation.
For you.
For you.
Tough.
Well, that's because you eat dragon glass for breakfast.
Hell yeah. All right, so let's leave this cold, wintry climate, and let's go down to everybody's favorite vacation spot and also least favorite plot. We're talking about Dorne. It is a beautiful castle they filmed in here, all these tiles. Look at how gorgeous this place is.
I love Dorne. Dorne's great for the wintertime, the summertime, the springtime, and the falltime.
Now, Uncle Jamie is really not hiding.
Uncle
he's
slash
her
dad,
You know, all dads see their teenage daughters.
He's like, cover up.
Cover up, honey. Showing a little bit too much skin. And Prince Tristain, I got to be honest, I think Joffrey would take this kid out. You know, he went down with one punch before. He's trying to be a man now and be like, oh, it was a flea bite. But
he certainly has a healthy opinion of himself.
He is a pretty
boy. He's got a good opinion of himself.
Prince Doran, he's gathered everybody up. He's got his son, and he's got Jaime's daughter. He's got his, you know, would-be sister-in-law, Ilaria Sand, there, and he's got Jaime. And he kind of calls Jaime to task, like, hey, you couldn't send a raven? What's going on here? We're supposed to be allies.
Right. Jamie lets him know, you know, everything would have been fine, which isn't true.
Right.
Except for the fact that we got a slightly threatening message. And then Taran gives a side-eye look to Ilaria like, thanks a lot, lady.
Well, I think Ilaria's like, hey, you know, you could have not made it so obvious that I sent it, douche. You know, he's like, oh, you got a threatening necklace. Oh, my necklace was stolen. And Prince Taran immediately turns to Ilaria and is like, you dumb lady.
But he is the smartest dude. He is the smartest dude in this whole show.
Why do you say that?
Well,
Catfish?
He's been watching the rest of the show and he knows two things.
What does he know?
One, war sucks.
Okay.
And two, it really sucks in Westeros because it's cold and crappy. And they're living in Westeros' vacation spot, Dorne.
Well, he in fact says, he goes, I can't, you know, many in Dorne want a war. And Jaime even thinks this last meal is before they take his head. But Prince Duran's like, I've seen bodies piled on the battlefield. I've seen orphans starving in the cities. I don't want to lead my people into that hell.
Yeah.
And Ilaria is still talking trash. No, you want to make friends with the people who killed your sister and your brother.
And he's like, God damn right I do.
So he is the actual principal I was talking about before. About, you know, the guy last week was like, my ancestors would spit on me if I broke bread with the crows. Well, here he is trying to break bread once again with a Lannister and the Lannister family, specifically the Mountain, who is a thug for the Lannisters, killed his sister and brother. I'm not sure I could do it.
Well, Ilaria can't do it because she decides she doesn't like her drink so much that she thinks the floor would like her drink better.
Have you ever done that move, Catfish, where somebody's like, hey, let's have a toast to peace, and then you just pour it out on the floor?
You know, I've never had a chance to do that.
Do it one time, Catfish.
Someday. I'll do it. I'll do it right here. Right here. You give me a hard time about not remembering a name again, I'm going to pour my drink out right on your floor.
Okay, well then, security, remove his drink.
Listen, here's the deal.
Yeah? Tell me, what's the deal?
You get your daughter back.
Cha-ching! All right, that's great. Yeah. That's why I love it.
Hey, an extra bonus, you get your son-in-law back.
Oh, great.
And he gets to be the only person left on the small council.
Oh, great.
News is not getting to Dorne very well.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'm so happy I get to take this little snot-nosed boy band member up to King's Landing and put him on the small council. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
There's only one way for them to go. One Direction.
Oh! Edit that, everyone. Please edit that from
from your memory. Take it from your memory.
All righty. So, Prince Duran, do you like his deal? Do you think it's a good deal? He's like, you had somebody from Dorne on the small council. I want somebody on the small council again. Now, I should point out, being on the small council may not be good for your health. It could be another way to lose another family member, Prince Doran.
Basically, if I cared for anybody, I would keep them out of King's Landing altogether.
Yeah.
Crazy. But he's a smart move. He's like,
smart
I'm not going to fight. I just want, you know, basically the deal they made was, you know, we're going to have peace.
Right.
But I'm going to get a new daughter-in-law. And so he wants his son sort of near the power. It's a smart move. It's a smart move if you don't know what a disaster King's Landing is right now in the political sense.
Yeah, that's a great point. So anyway, let's get back to Bronn, everybody's favorite cutthroat. Everybody who was poisoned, he's had a near death experience in the last episode time we saw him, right?
Yeah, he has, and you know, but basically, and I didn't understand this, why she was going to force him to say that she was the most beautiful woman in the world before she gave him his antidote, because he was right there ready to say it anyway.
Right.
Basically, she undressed in front of him. He would have said that she was the smartest woman in the world, the tallest woman in the world, and the skinniest woman in the world.
Heck yeah. So as we go down to Bronn's chamber, and across the way we see the Sand Snakes, and they are playing the infamous eye contact hand slapping game.
The slap
Catfish.
Game.
The slap game.
And the younger, sexiest Sand Snake.
Oh, I think they're both of these two Sand Snakes who are playing the slappy game. They're like equal sexy, in my opinion, Catfish. They're both beautiful young actresses.
So you hate the woman from Whale Rider. That's what you're saying. Keisha Castle Hughes. You hate her. She's lying on the bunk. She's not in the scene because Bubba doesn't want to look at her.
Hey, now.
Sexist Bubba. I don't
remember. She's the one who threw the spear through the guy's head. So that's it's going to be hard for me to forget that, Catfish. So no matter how lovely she is,
Your fuck, marry, kill. You were the one. You killed her, I think.
She put a spear through a guy's head, Catfish.
Oh,
I don't want that.
Oh, another justification. Now, why are we spending so much? Presumably, we're going to see a lot more of these sand snakes because we're spending a lot of time with them.
Maybe. I don't know. Braun gets to leave. The guard, Ariel Hotok, comes out. Hey. Braun's like, is this going to be... sorry, Catfish. I don't want to step on your toes.
Am I going to be happy at the end of this walk or sad? I love that line. He just wants to know. Don't you know what? Just break it to me gently. The guy says, you'll find out. And then Braun's girlfriend...
Right. Say it one more time. Who's this most beautiful woman in the world? She is. She is very beautiful.
She
let's
is
be
beautiful.
Honest.
But I don't know why he didn't have another quip there.
Oh, well, Braun didn't have a quip, but instead your girl Whale Rider did. She calls her a slut. Obara calls her sister
slut. There's no need for slut shaming among Sand Snake sisters.
No, I don't think there should be any. So, Braun is brought to the, you know, this kind of, this isn't a throne room. What would you call this? Just, you know. The den.
This is his meeting room where he greets people.
Right, the greeting chamber. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah.
And so Braun, he's going to get no punishment for punching.
But he's so smart. As soon as he finds out he's not going to die, he's like, "How about that pie then? Can I have the pie?"
Right. He gets one bit of punishment, and that is an elbow right to the face. And Prince Duran, I got to give him up. He gets a funny in. He's like, "Instead of pie, perhaps some soup instead." Youch.
I'll tell you something though,
what?
Braun. Oh,
yeah.
He is happy for that one condition. I was thinking that one condition would be, honestly, I was a little worried that they were going to have matching gold hands.
Okay.
Really, I thought that might be the punishment.
That would have been a good punishment. We have one final scene in Dorne.
Do we?
And that's, where we see she's out here in the courtyard. We see the sand snakes have been broken out of their cell. And they're all marched in front of Prince Duran, who's in his wheelchair.
Oh, God.
And he's like, your rebellion is over. You can swear allegiance to me now.
Or you can die.
It's either or.
A or B.
Guys, give women choices. Catfish, how many times are you going to hit that mic tonight?
You can't even hear it.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, Ilaria Sand, she's very upset. She apparently had four children, including this youngest Tyene with Oberyn, his brother. She gets down on her knees and she kisses.
She's crying as she does it. Now, why do you think she's crying, Bubba?
I don't think she wants to do it. Her whole life was built into revenge, and now she's having to.
Why doesn't she just say, "Go ahead and kill me"?
Well, now, that is a great point.
She's got her principles. Now he makes a good point.
I think he makes a great point. He says, yeah. I believe in second chances. I don't believe in third chances.
It's basically a variation on the fool me once, fool me twice credo.
But now let's get to the scene where Ilaria Sand marches into where Jaime is.
Now,
and Jaime's writing left-handed, and she immediately does a neg. I mean, he's writing left-handed. He lost his right hand.
Right.
She immediately negs his handwriting. Ouch.
But then his response
what
is...
What is his response,
His
Catfish?
Response is, well, I because essentially because he was the young prince, like he was important, he had somebody else do it for him. They covered for him. When my response would be,
yes.
Hey, lady... I was right with my right hand for 32 years. I just started right with my left hand.
Right. Well, Jamie's 40, Catfish. He's not 32.
All right. 38, 39, whatever. Whatevs.
And so everybody, this is the worst kept secret in Westeros, because Ilaria Sand brings up that Jamie loves his twin sister, Queen Cersei.
And she basically says, one thing she says is what I've said before, which
What's
is
that?
In the past... Even in Westeros, among a royalty, this was no biggie.
Well, amongst Targaryens. That's a big point that everybody needs to keep track
of.
Because the Targaryens had the dragons,
mm-hmm.
they were allowed to break this rule of the seven and marry brother or sister. Nobody else could.
Okay.
Only royalty, like you're saying, but that blood of the dragons.
All right, and so in Dorne, what are the official rules in Dorne? Is she stretching them a little bit, or do you think she's being completely honest?
Well,
about
I think the main thing she's saying about Dorne is that, once again, people frowned on her love, meaning Oberyn, one of the lords, one of the princes of Dorne, going out with a commoner would not have been, you know, having a paramour of a commoner. That would have been frowned upon.
But what do you think is actually worse? It still sounds.
What do I think is worse?
No, it still sounds to me as no. What do you think they think is worse? It still sounds to me like the twincest is the worst. They would think is worse.
Completely true. Completely the true. But somehow she's trying to find agreement with Jaime.
I don't know what. What do you think her end game is here? I was a little confused by this whole scene. Like she's kind of reaching out to him. I don't get it.
Well, she's admitting. One of the things she admits is that she was going to take it out on Myrcella. And she goes, you know what? Myrcella was innocent. She had no part in this. It was wrong. I think she's trying to say, she doesn't say these words, but I imagine she's trying to say, hey, I shouldn't have been aggressive towards an innocent person in Myrcella.
Right. Well, you know what they say? It's like Dorne.
Yeah.
Dorne is not only Westeros' vacation spot,
sure,
but it's like Westeros' San Francisco. And that they're sort of like cutting edge on who you love. It's okay. Whoever you love. And also, they don't harm little girls. That's basically their policy.
They almost harmed a little girl.
Love though. Who you love. But it was the Sand Snakes. It wasn't anybody official. It wasn't.
Well, she was. You're right. But she's not official either. But she almost did it. She's the paramour of a late prince, so she's as official as you can get.
Well, that just shows you this is what happens when you get involved with a commoner. They bring their commoner ways.
Oh boy, yeah, no,
exactly.
That's right. Here at the Joffrey podcast, Joffrey would never do a commoner.
No,
no,
no.
So,
but and by do you mean skewer, right?
Right. Okay, let's get to the great city of Braavos across the narrow sea.
This is Westeros's New York City. It's where the bankers are.
And we find out they're kind of douchebags everywhere. Arya's out just selling her oysters, clams, and cockles, and just some typical Braavosy bastard. He's like, yeah.
In my nightmare tonight, I'm going to hear her yelling, oysters, clams, and cockles.
I think she says it a bit higher pitched than you do.
Oh, my God. Well, I didn't really want to hurt everybody.
It is really high how
oysters, clams, and cockles.
All right, so she sees her target. She sees this insurance man, this gambling man, and she pulls out her poison.
And very subtly,
right
out in the open.
I mean, come on. She's still learning how to kill somebody.
She puts it in her side pouch. Why doesn't she just pour it on ahead of time and leave those clams off to the side? It was that, by the way, what is she going to kill him with? An oyster clam or cockle.
Right. I imagine that last week we saw he liked lots of vinegar on his oyster and that she would extra vinegar and extra
that was
poison.
Be the vinegar.
So the thin man, he's like, oysters, girls, I'm talking to you. But she has seen something. She looked past him. Catfish.
You called it out.
Did
no,
you know?
I only knew because you called out earlier in the season when you put me through another quiz that I barely passed.
Right. You didn't pass, but sure.
No, you did. You said, where and who else is in Braavos? And I was able to correctly identify that it was the oysters, clams, and cockles girl who was there. And so Sherlock Holmes' brother is there to greet him.
Right. This representative of the Iron Bank is there to visit and meet with Mace Tyrell, Marjorie and Loras's father. How come he doesn't know what has happened to his two children back in King's Landing? But, of course, Arya doesn't even care about them. She cares about who? Sir Meryn Trant.
But she's being so subtle.
Oh, she's not being subtle here either.
Oh, I thought I was being ironic.
You weren't being clear, that's for sure. Mace, who they make good wine in the Reach, he offers this banker some, and the banker's like, I don't partake.
And then he gives a little funny look. He's always good for a laugh.
Yeah, Mace is always trying jokes. He's like, you know, there was a time when people asking for interest on a loan, that was wrong. Maegar III tried to outlaw it in the Seven Kingdoms, wanted to arrest anyone charged for interest. He'd cut off both their hands. And the banker, you know.
Sherlock Holmes' brother is so awesome. He's like, so sad for the Glovers.
Wah, 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 wah. Yeah, glove business took a hit. But
now Mace, I think, makes a good point here.
Which
he talks about the gambling.
Right.
And Sherlock's brother says, we are bankers, not gamblers. And Mace is like, oh, no, you're gamblers.
Right.
That's essentially when you're loaning out money to people, you're essentially gambling that they'll get it back.
Yeah, Mace, his jokes aren't going over well, but he's trying to get through that, hey, I know Westeros and the Seven Kingdoms owe you money, but how about we do this? How about we, you know, we shake hands and we do it well? I have to be honest, we're about to hit a scene which I didn't like, and that's the reveal of this Iron Bank. It's too CGI. It's kind of obvious that's not a real building. And in this episode, one of the reasons why I was a bit tougher on it is that the effects are obviously not as good.
Okay.
Did you think that was a good effect shot, where they make this building a lot taller to represent the Iron Bank?
I liked it. So the next we see, again, being very, Mace. Very subtle.
All right, you ready to sing this song about, hopefully this is a song about Braavos, because Mace is going to sing this song as a gift to the Iron Banker. You ready?
Okay, let's hear it.
Let's do it. Here we go.
Anyone can learn it.
So give me a kiss by the long canal. And give me two kisses in Salty Town. For we're going to die tomorrow.
The bareheaded beggar, the king with his crown.
That's it. Well, what a kind of anticlimactic song there.
Wow. But then we got a nice cut, and then we see Meryn Trant saying,
do
I thought that
old
shit would...
Do you think Mace's song was foreshadowing drink? Because they're going to die tomorrow. Is there any chance that Mace Tyrell will die next episode, Catfish?
I don't think we're going to lose Mace. Who would kill Mace if someone was going to kill Mace? You would think the only person who would do it would be Cersei. No, not even Cersei, because they still need their money.
Right.
I don't think anyone would kill him. Now, Meryn Trant, he could have some problems.
He could, and he almost...
Because he's not very sharp. He sees the same girl in like 12 different places.
But he can't place her.
He can't quite place her.
We see Meryn Trant is a complete douche.
It's okay if he can't place her, but the fact that he keeps seeing the same person over and over again should still be a little tickler in the back of his brain.
So he hates the singing. He thinks the Tyrells can rot in hell because they were going to give Renly king. And he's just about to break his vows. When you're on the King's Guard, you're not supposed to take any woman. You're supposed to have one focus and one focus only, the king.
But is the king around?
Well, Joffrey's been on the show dead, so yeah, let's screw some whores.
Right,
why not?
Exactly, in his name.
All right, so Arya is staking it out. And now, Catfish, there is a great thing that I saw people tweet out. This friendly whore who allows Arya to kind of hang out and sell her clams, cockles, and stuff in the whorehouse.
Oysters, clams, and cockles.
Do you know this whore here was in season 4, Catfish?
No. Oh, she moved up to the big time?
No, she was in this exact same whorehouse when Solidor San was in with a whore, and Stannis and Davos had gone to the Iron Bank for their loan, and Davos came to visit Solidor San, the pirate, and he said, hey, we got a loan, we can attack the Seven Kingdoms, and she was one of the whores in the hot tub with him.
Well, you know what's really nice is now for her resume, she can put recurring.
She is recurring.
Well, that's
she
what
was
I
in
mean.
Last week, now, last time we were in Braavos,
the
she was
thing.
There too. Yeah.
The thing you didn't mention is that Arya is well-equipped to sell oysters, clams, and cockles because not only does she have her wheelbarrow, but she's got a little cigarette tray.
Oh, right. Now, Meryn Trant is seeing these ladies here at the Braavosi brothel.
Okay, and as I gave for my ratings.
Yes.
All right, look. I'm sexist. I'm a dude. I'm watching HBO. I do like to see some female figures. If you are judging people here at a brothel, every single woman was clothed in this brothel at every point.
Well, why not pay? Why not make this guy pay? There are some people who probably do just enjoy seeing a woman naked who maybe wouldn't pay for the whole service. It'd be like, oh, that's good. I'm done.
Yeah, but they treat this guy very well. If you weren't sure that he was going to pay, you wouldn't be bringing your scullery maid or whoever they brought out, who clearly was not a working girl. Yeah. They found somebody who was scrubbing the floor.
Meryn Trant is just, he's a pedophile.
Basically.
We've got another episode of To Catch a Predator here on Game
Amazing.
Of Thrones. I don't know how many
Amazing.
We have to have.
How many wonderful people are in this show?
So sure enough, he's like, I thought that last girl was going to be fine. You know, I thought it would be the rule of threes. No, it was the rule of fours, because he had to get to the fourth girl before he could agree.
Once again, Arya, just on the other side, not being very subtle. And then, of course, she gets brought in. And honestly, I was a little worried at this point. I thought he was going to say, yes, she's young enough.
Oh, I was afraid of that too. But she didn't get a chance to kill him because he didn't want any whores. Did he recognize her? He took a lot of looks at her. This reminds me of season two when Littlefinger came to Harrenhal when Arya was a cupbearer for Lord Tywin in the second season, and Littlefinger kept looking at Arya, didn't recognize her. Meryn Trant certainly
well,
didn't.
Well, Meryn Trant may be an asshole, but he can only keep one thought in his mind at a time, because as soon as he sees this poor unfortunate girl,
yeah,
he forgets all about Arya.
He does. And Arya doesn't forget about him.
No.
I thought, you know, once again, I suspected that Arya was going to break in and save this little girl by killing him while he was taking off his clothes, thinking about only one thing. I thought Arya was going to take care of him.
So you're saying Arya is weak and not a heroine?
Well, she finds out that Meryn Trant says, hey, I want another one tomorrow.
Tomorrow, right.
So she knows, in other words, she scoped out her, she has not scoped out her real victim, the Thin Man. Instead, she's scoped out her target of Meryn Trant.
Exactly. And so she goes back, basically
to the House of Black and White.
Basically, Jaqen is helping someone to death.
Yeah.
We see it's not going to be too long. And this is sort of some black humor in that as soon as the scene's over, he turns around and is like, oh, look, there, he's done.
Right.
And now you got some work to do.
You got some work to do. You got some sweeping to do.
Let me ask you here, Bubba.
Okay.
Do you think he falls for this story of hers?
Well, every other time in the most recent couple of episodes, when Arya lies to him, he smacks her, right? And
right.
The first thing she says is a lie. She says, the Thin Man wasn't hungry today.
Yeah.
And instead of smacking her and being able to tell that she's lying to him, instead he says, well, maybe that's how he's thin.
Yeah. Wah, wah. Jokes by Jaqen.
I don't think he falls for it.
I don't think he falls for it either, which is why I'm surprised he doesn't.
I think this look he gives Arya after he tells her there's work to do, I think this look is to imply he knows something's up, and he can't be happy with it. She is supposed to become no one. She hasn't become no one. She's someone.
Basically, I think this is going to be a Luke Skywalker situation.
What do you mean by that, Catfish?
Well, in that she starts her training to become a Jedi,
right.
But she abandons it to take care of some old business.
Way to spoil Empire Strikes Back, Catfish.
Sorry. Spoiler alert.
So terrible. All right. So, just like last week, we jumped around a lot of places and then ended up in one location, Hardhome, for the bulk of the episode. This episode, we jumped around a lot of places, but we have our final location to get to tonight, Catfish, and that is, of course, the quote-unquote free city of Meereen.
Westeros's Greece.
No, that's Essos's. It's on the continent of Essos. So it starts with a great establishing shot of the fighting pits, where we see some statues of people fighting. We see a harpy. The harpy had its face broken off, so we know that Daenerys doesn't... Well, there's some harpies on every kind of column. Not every harpy face is broken off. Maybe it just fell off from a lack of, you know, from age. But we come into this arena, and do you like these effect shots of the arena, Catfish? Sometimes they worked. Sometimes I thought the effects did not work.
I agree. However, again, we saw the first episode on a large screen. I would have been very, very happy to see this on a big screen.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too.
I think it would have been much better.
We get to the kind of the royal viewing platform, and who's there but Tyrion?
Yeah, they got the kids cheer out for him.
Tyrion, lovely Missandei, Daenerys, our boy Dario's there, and so is Daenerys' betrothed, his daughter.
Yeah, but he shows up a little bit late.
Yeah. He says he was making sure everything was in order. Uh-oh. Could he be a bad guy?
Well, I don't want a spoiler alert, but the fact is, it seems like he's a part of it right until the point that one of the sons in the harpies gives him right in the stomach.
No, for sure. The fighting pits start off, and a guy comes out. He's speaking Valyrian. He is a poor man's Michael Buffer. And he sets us up for this fighting. And as soon as the fighting starts, Dario, let's be honest, Dario is a little jealous.
Very insecure.
Oh, my God.
Very insecure.
Oh, Lord. You know, he sees that the woman he loves, Daenerys, is sitting next to his Dar. and he always wants to kind of, you know, he keeps putting himself literally between them.
I don't get where he's coming from. If I was that good looking dude and that good a fighter and knew that someone I was with was marrying someone for political reasons,
yeah,
I would be lording it over them, not showing my jealousy at every moment.
Well, he is just completely jealous. Hisdar, you know, he has seemed nice.
Well, what's interesting about
Hisdar, but he's always talking about the history of the city. He's like, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to clap to start this damn thing up.
But every time we've seen Hisdar before today, he's been kind of supplicating himself. He's been asking questions, etc. This is the first time where we see Hisdar as a responsible guy with some power, with some self-ego.
Oh, well, I thought even in the very first episode of this season, when he came back and he first pitched opening these fighting pits, and Daenerys kind of put him down and she said, how many times do I have to say no? If you looked on his face, then he really got angry. And that when we met Hisdar last season, he was talking about, hey, you nailed my dad to a cross. And so he does represent, as crazy as it sounds now that he's dead, he represented maybe
spoiler
the good
alert.
Guy masters, the masters?
I guess, yeah.
Maybe.
But this show that the good guy masters still are kind of dicks because they're in charge and they own slaves.
So I did like, you know, I only give this episode a 7, but I did like this little back and forth between Dario and Hisdar about, oh, the fast man, oh, the tall man. Oh,
especially when it's punctuated with the fast guy losing his head.
Right.
And Dario being like, well, you know what? I guess this conversation's over.
Right. And Hisdar had a great smile on his face. He's like, point for me, Dario, you jump. But Daenerys doesn't like this at all. She doesn't
fighting pits. No, she doesn't, but she seems very smitten by Dario.
Right. When he gets in and flirts, she's smitten. But then once Dario's man loses, she's back to being miserable with this.
Right. Hisdar smirks. And then, you know, then he looks like a little verbal smackdown on Tyrion, says you don't approve. And Tyrion makes a good point.
What's that point, Cash?
Well, you know, there's a lot of death around. There's no reason to go looking for it.
Now, do you agree with Hisdar's point here, which I think is pretty interesting as a philosophical question? Hisdar, he's like, listen to me. He's like, what great thing has ever been accomplished without killing and cruelty? And in this world, that's probably true. You know, the people who built this darn fighting pit, which is so incredible, they were probably slaves who were treated cruelly. And so in this world, I don't agree
with
our
world. Are we talking
world,
about the World Cup in Qatar?
Oh, that is real life call out there, Catfish. People are dying making those stadiums.
I apologize. I didn't mean to make a joke out of it. But, you know, it's we say that this is cruel and this is, you know, nothing that's reflected in our world. And yet these kind of things do happen in today's world.
And Tyrion does not agree with Hisdar. He's like, you know, you're one of the masters. It's worked out that way for you. But Hisdar still keeps fighting his point. And I actually think he does make a good point later. I don't think that he says, you know, hey.
I think he gets a good point later.
Hey, when he gets stabbed, that's not nice. But I think he once again says, you know, Daenerys, these people want to fight. How are you able to decide what they want to do? Why, you're queen. But why is that so important?
Right. Well, I that does make a certain amount of sense in that basically, and it's been reinforced in many times, that the people who really suffer it when the Game of Thrones is played are the little people.
Right.
And basically,
like Tyrion.
Yes.
Look at he's got a slash on his face. He's got an ugly beard. He's really suffering.
And when the Game of Thrones gets settled, the little people aren't helped out anymore by it. It's not like they struggled and they made sacrifices and now the world's a better place. It's still a shithole for them.
Amen. But Tyrion says, hey, you think you're elegant. Everybody I've known who's elegant has been an imbecile. Ouch. So now we get kind of a great contrasting style. So we have a representative of Meereen, and the slaves don't like that. The high-class Meereen people did. They have a Dothraki warrior and a couple other people, and, of course,
Knight. We didn't see those other people before. I was surprised when the fighting started and it was 3-on-3.
No, it's not. It's more than 3-on-3. I think it's 6-on-6. It's 3-on-3. You are absolutely correct. But the announcer didn't – we didn't get to hear the announcer announce who these other people
are. And we
are.
Didn't even see him. So that's why I was surprised when the fight started and there was more people. But I guess the big news is what? Oh, Sir Friendzone.
Oh, my Lord. Do you think this is a good move?
Well, you know, he's through the end. I mean, this is basically Lloyd Dobler holding up a boombox and Say Anything, is it not?
Spoiler alert for Say Anything. All right. So Daenerys, she could have not clapped. She could have spared
Jorah. She seemed a little bit more excited to clap this time. I think she's done so with
him. I disagree. I think she's just like, all right, whatever. So once again, from what we can tell, there's the guy who they announced representing Meereen. There's a Dothraki, there's a Westerosi Knight, Sir Friendzone, and then three other guys who I don't think we can tell anything about. And Jorah, he survives, I guess is the best way to say about this fight. Because all of the guys kind of get in some good blows on Jorah, and Jorah keeps falling down, and nobody, when he's down, is willing to give him the kill shots. So the very first guy knocks him down. What did you – were you fearful for Sir Friendzone, Catfish?
You know, I didn't think that he could die because after all the time we spent with him, that would be I didn't think that would be a great ending for him, although it's the ending he deserves. Get over it. Move on with your grayscale life.
Good grief, you're so mean, Catfish.
But if I was him, I wouldn't be proud talking about this. Basically, the only reason he survived was because – he was the one who looked like he was almost dead, and so the person killed the person who was standing
up. He was playing possum.
He was doing the rope-a-dope.
So he kills the first guy, and he makes eyes right at Daenerys. And what do you think Daenerys is thinking when she looks at him just then, Catfish?
Well, I think what she's thinking is maybe these fights are good for something.
All right, hold on. She looks, you know, she's kind of, I think the eye would read it as she's glad he survived, but still not happy with him. So the next person that he matches up against is what I would guess is a Bravosi, because look at this thin blade. So this is like a Bravosi blade.
He is like the dancing master.
Yeah, the water dancer in the first episode in the season, Cyrio Pharrell.
And basically, this is the real, what I think is the real contrast in styles. We got somebody with heavy armor and a heavy sword against somebody who is not armored at all.
No, he's
got a
leather.
Light sword.
Yeah.
He's fast.
Right.
You know, and basically this is not a good it's not a good look for him.
No. We see the champion of Meereen doing well. He stabs somebody with his spear. And Ser Jorah is not doing good against this Bravosi blade. Ser Jorah once again finds himself down on the dirt. He cannot keep up, and he's getting slashed and hacked. He falls down. He loses his sword.
Now, at this point, Dany does look like she's a little upset.
She doesn't want him to die. Evil Uncle Tyrion, I think, at this point, even tells her, hey, you can stop this if you want to. And Jorah, as he's down, he looks at the queen. And the Bravosi guy, he lets Jorah just suffer there for a bit, doesn't he? He could have just immediately stabbed him and moved on to the final opponent. But
This is the bad gloating over your victory.
Right.
And then getting killed. Now, what's funny is you always see this and you get frustrated because you're like, they wouldn't hang over it. But basically, somebody we liked last year did the same thing and they got killed for doing it.
Right, exactly right. All right, so this champion of Meereen, he allows Jorah to get up. He allows Jorah to get a weapon. And it's really just theoretically this champion of Meereen wants a fair fight. And Jorah, why doesn't he hold this sword with both hands? I think he could get more power. Jorah does what I think is a nice move. He gets in close so the guy's spear can't get him. And then the guy's spear is pushing down on him. What did you think of this action sequence, Catfish, rather than us describe it? What did you think of it? The crowd is booing, saying it's boring.
I don't think they're booing. I think they don't want to see the Westerosi dude win. Nonetheless, he does win.
And then the crowd really boos. They hate this.
Yeah, no, they hate the dude. And so now they want thumbs down. I don't think you can do thumbs down on somebody who just won. You can't kill him. I thought this guy was going to – he's still staggering a little bit. I thought he was going to get a last blow in.
So Jorah grabs the Meereen spear, and he throws it, and he ends up – we thought he was hitting Dany. Daario moves her out of the way. He wasn't hitting Dany. It hits,
then boom.
There's a harpy in the back. Ouch. That was a great reveal. And then this reveal that there are harpies sitting right in the crowd right
everywhere.
Next to him. Oh, this was probably, in an episode I only gave a 7, that was probably the greatest moment.
It
and
was
then
awesome.
All
and
hell
then
breaks
they
loose.
Just decide, basically, Anybody who's not wearing a harpy mask, Sons of the Harpy Mask, is fair game. Just start
they're killing
in.
Slaves, but they're also killing a lot of people who weren't dressed like former slaves, were dressed in official Marinese garb.
Yeah, I guess what they're saying is, if you're not Furus, you're a Guinness.
We see they're Unsullied in the crowd, but they're getting taken out. Once again, it's an ambush. The Unsullied are supposed to be the greatest warriors, but maybe only on the battlefield because they don't do too well.
Well, they're better off here than where they are in that tight spot. Now, do you notice who we didn't see here, who I'm surprised we did not see?
Who didn't we see?
Grey Worm.
Right. Well, Grey Worm is theoretically still recovering, I guess, so he's not there.
Theoretically. And all this time, Jon Snow went north of the wall, yep. Came back south of the wall. I mean, I think there'd be enough time for him to be here. And then,
yeah.
Very shocking.
Very shocking. Hisdar, he calls out. He's like, "You're my grace, come with me." And we're focused on Dario as if this is a bad thing. You know what I mean? Dario's looking at him like, no. But Hisdar, before he can even get close to her, three harpies come up and stab Hisdar.
That is exciting.
One of their own.
Probably more shocking for you because, as you said, as you alluded to earlier, he's still alive in the books.
Yeah, both Shireen and Hisdar are still breathing in the books.
Hey, you look
They're great. What I like to call double B.
Double B.
Book breathing.
Book breathers.
And so Hisdar, he's groaning. Maybe he could have survived those. I doubt it.
Maybe it was a fake knife kill, but I doubt it because...
No, I doubt it,
He
too.
Was right close to the queen.
We
he
see
couldn't a, take care
we
of business.
See a, Jorah leads Dany down into the fighting pit
we
itself.
We see Tyrion saving your girl.
Missandei. Right. So this is just, there are just too many of them. Where are all the Unsullied? We need more of them.
And it seems surprising that there could be this many Sons of the Harpy in the crowd. Where were they hiding their masks?
Well, right. There wasn't a metal detector. A lot of times you go to a sporting event,
no
go
metal,
to a concert.
It just goes to show you need a metal detector. So they go down one road and it's, they go down one alleyway down there when they're on the floor and that's closed off to them. So they go off to another one and then all of a sudden, holy cow.
It is a flood of harpies.
They are surrounded. Now, and what's funny is I believe this is the very last scene that was in the preseason trailer. This is the very
them
last
being
scene.
Surrounded,
them being
right.
surrounded that we hadn't seen yet. So I had forgotten about it, but there was this and Jaime going to the meeting where right. in the original trailer. So let me ask you this, Bubba, why aren't these people attacking? There's literally, it looks like they've got them 10 to 1, 12 to 1, and they're
That's
not attacking.
True. The Unsullied should have formed a tight shield wall, maybe?
Tighter,
right.
Yeah.
But that ends up happening. The Unsullied keep backing up. They attack slowly. When the Harpies attack one-on-one, the Unsullied, let's give them credit, they do kill them. We see Dario and Jorah each take on guys
one-on-one. Well, this is why when you have a 10-to-1 advantage, you attack.
Right. It's got to be a full-on attack. But they, as they attack, as I keep mentioning, Catfish, this circle comes smaller and smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So, Catfish, did you find this part of the action thrilling, or were you just waiting for Dragon Ex Machina?
Well, I called it, by the way. You can attest to that. I'm like,
yes.
I'm like, okay, we're waiting for Dragon Ex Machina. I think it should have come faster because, again, there, when you've got the 10-to-1 advantage, it makes no sense to me the way they were attacking one at a time.
All right, so Daenerys and Missandei hold hands. Maybe like, okay, we're going to end. This is it.
Right, and Daenerys like, close her eyes for one second. Of course, since I knew the dragon was coming, because just logically that was the only thing that was going to save him, I thought she was calling the dragon, but really there wasn't enough time for her to call the dragon.
Well,
the dragon was coming already.
Could she have been doing a Bran Stark and calling him kind of magically, warging almost into this dragon?
I guess, but like it was like a nanosecond later. I think the dragon was already on his way, unless he was just waiting outside the stadium having some peanuts.
And some of these effects of the dragon are good. Some are... you know, what you can get when you spend all your money on the Battle of Hardhome. But the dragon comes down. And what's interesting when the dragon comes down is the fight continues. These Sons of the Harpy, you've almost got to give them credit. They still kept fighting. They still kept clawing. And they started throwing their spears at the dragon.
Oh, man. And then the dragon, and then he starts doing what I thought he should have done already.
Right.
Right? Which is, giving us the Marinese barbecue.
Right. Is it possible? Oh, but do you see what the dragon just did? In one of these shots, folks, you need to watch this. The dragon just roasted everybody, including an Unsullied member. Well, the Unsullied, this one Unsullied guy was fighting three Sons of the Harpy. He roasted all four of them.
This is the very literal definition of friendly fire.
Friendly fire. Oh, my goodness. So this dragon, it munches on people, but it should go to the well of fire more often, don't you think?
I think it really, that's its most powerful thing. Now, of course, it knows it can't. Even though he can get some random dudes in there, it can't go towards Danny. So Danny goes and pulls one of the sticks out.
And then, oh my goodness, would you be that close to Drogon? Named after Khal Drogo.
I wouldn't, but I'm hoping that he had some breath mints.
Oh, dear God. But dare I say it, is it possible for a dragon to smile? The dragon does like Daenerys. Remember earlier in the season, he wouldn't let Daenerys touch him. Now he does let Daenerys touch him. Oh, actually, scratch that. Right before she touches him, here come the harps. The harpies are throwing spears. Later, we see this dragon actually has a hole in its wing.
Yeah. Wow. I'm surprised it can fly well with that hole in its wing. But then we see Dany, and this is one thing that I did not expect, so this was cool. And Danny decides, well, I might as well become a dragon rider. Screw the rest of y'all.
So, Daenerys, why do you think she gets up on the dragon? To save it, because it's getting hit with spears. She's like, hey, let's get out of here. I assume she says the Valyrian word for fly.
And he needs, at this point, with everything that's set up like this, he needs a long runway to take off. I didn't think he needed any runway at all, but he needed a runway here, maybe because of his wing.
And then he takes off. What do you think of these effects of her riding on the dragon, Catfish?
I thought it was pretty good.
I don't know. It's maybe because I saw people ride on dragons in one of those Harry Potter movies. Spoiler alert. It wasn't quite as good. But then we cut, and after the dragon leaves, theoretically, the fighting has stopped. The harpies have left. We see some Unsullied stand up.
Yeah, so here's the question. If it was so bad that she had to leave with the dragon, and then the fighting is over, you think they just left because the queen's not there anymore? So they're like, okay, forget this. Who cares who the rest of these guys are?
Maybe. I don't know.
Danny didn't care about the rest of them anyway.
Well, we've reviewed the whole episode, Catfish. You're cold on Danny. Have you changed your ranking from a 7.5?
No, I'm going to give it 7.5 fully clothed hookers.
Okay. I'm sticking with my 7 as well. Let's go to Twitter. And once again, people, you can contact us on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FITTENTRIM at Fit and Trim on Twitter. Or
you can hit me up at CJGman67. People have been, I think, in the wake of your begging for Twitter followers, I have got some of your sloppy seconds, your double S's.
Double S's.
Sloppy seconds.
Hey, before we get to any of the Twitter questions, I want to say that our good friend at Mando Tori, at Mando Tori, Tori Hunter on Twitter, set out my favorite post-show tweet on this. He says, quote, he gives Jorah a line from the episode. He's like, Daenerys, so I noticed you were single again.
Wham! That's a good one.
Too soon, Mando Tori. But hilarious. I want to say that some of the earliest tweets I got about this is I got from my good friend Natasha Patel, who's at L.A. Ren Soul. That's L.A.R.E.N. Soul on Twitter. Natasha said, GOT is on its way to becoming the newsroom. If they don't replace the writing staff ASAP, she sent that right around Shireen getting killed in the fire. So she was not happy with that. Also, our good friend Jacqueline Mukui, who's at Mukui24 on Twitter, that's MUQUI24, she was frustrated. She wrote Stannis, no, as well as, where do I start?
Wow. You know, she's become one of our big
double L's.
Double L's.
Loyal listeners.
Oh yeah. She's pimping us out, and I appreciate it.
Do you have any Catfish, or do you want me to read some more I've got here?
No, why don't you go ahead and read some more, and then I can cover some of the new followers I've gotten.
Excellent. Okay, so our friends at Geek Girl Soup on Twitter, they tweeted us, they said scenes from the books worked best for me. Drogon, other scene. In what I suppose
she said,
Drogon. Scenes from the books work best for me. #Drogon. And then they wrote, other scenes, not so much. Hashtag too old. Hashtag Shireen. Aw.
Man, that is just so sad.
Our friends at Fantasy Live Blog, they want us to give Stannis for the Joffrey of the Week. They wrote, Stannis for the Joffrey of the Week, hands down. Do you agree, Catfish? We'll get our Joffreys of the Week later, but do you agree, Stannis, because he's willing to do whatever it takes to win the war, does that mean he's trying to be like Joffrey? What do you think?
I think he's trying to be like Joffrey because
failing miserably.
I think everyone is trying to be like Joffrey, even if they never met Joffrey.
Okay.
We're all aspiring to Joffreyness.
Natasha Patel tweeted out another tweet. She said, there's a big yet nuanced difference between raising the stakes and Hail Marys. She felt like some of this episode was a Hail Mary. Do you agree, Catfish?
I do agree in that some of the things they just went a little crazy with.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Rachel Perez, who's at Rachel Perez 514. That's Rachel Perez 514 on Twitter. She tweeted at us and she said, I'm declaring myself hashtag Team White Walker. I want all of these miserable people to die.
Team White Walker. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
She saw what Stannis did, and she's like, enough of this. So great tweet from Rachel Perez.
Now, we got one a few days ago that I loved from Michael Killey, at Mike Killey.
Oh, we love Mike.
Yeah. He said, the Lords of Bone says he doesn't listen to the Joffrey podcast, and he linked to a GIF. I'm going to call it GIF because it is graphic GIF. To a GIF of the Lord of Bones.
Not GIF, Catfish?
No, I'm going to call it... No, not GIF. Because graphical does not start with a J.
No one cares, Catfish.
Okay, fine.
You've had this one tweet go on forever. Go.
Okay, and he linked it to a GIF of the Lord of Bones getting his butt beat by Tormund, whom I said when I was doing my own... I was tweeting live when I watched the episode that this was a... that's a Tormund TED Talk. Tormund TED Talk on bludgeoning.
Folks, let me say that the reason why we mention these tweets is that if you tweet at us, Bub and Catfish, or you just tweet out with the hashtag Joffrey of Podcast or hashtag The Joffrey of Podcast, you're entered into a great contest where you can win some wonderful Game of Thrones prizes. We're going to be giving those away next week.
Next week, so you've only got 6 more days.
Right. To either, now you can tweet at us, or of course you can write and give us a written review in iTunes. Okay, if you write us a review in iTunes and not just stars, you can be entered in a chance to win one of these great prizes. The prizes include a Making of Game of Thrones season 3 and 4 book, a great poster which is of Arya and the Hound, which I'll be tweeting out in case you want to see it. We've got a lot of great prizes, more coming up probably.
And don't forget, we have the prize that I tried to give away in my crappy giveaway that you gave up on.
Yes, your crappy giveaway. You gave away my prize in your crappy giveaway.
Yes. Well, but now it's going to be in our giveaway.
Okay.
And that is a Blu-ray, DVD, digital copy of last season's Game of Thrones. That is amazing.
All right, so let's get to our new iTunes reviews. We have 6 new ones this week.
What?
Here in the U.S. store. The first one that's new is titled, Where Have You Been? 5 stars, and this is from Miss Pumpkin Patch. Miss Pumpkin Patch, not Mrs., she's single, gentlemen. Miss Pumpkin Patch, she wrote, Where Have You Been? She said, just found you, got tired of a different podcast. I backtracked and listened to all of this season's podcast.
Oh.
Is this the only show you review? New listener, new friend, go Jon Snow. Okay, so maybe she hasn't listened entirely. Miss Pumpkin Patch, listen to those earlier podcasts I mentioned so you can see why Joffrey, not the bastard Jon Snow, is the true hero. But thank you so much for this review.
Oh, that is a great review. I like a 5-star review.
We got another one, a re-review from our boy JJJJJJKKKKKKKKK. Why don't you read this one, Catfish?
Well, now it's 5 stars.
It is 5 stars.
But then he says the title of it is good. So I would think 5 stars would be excellent. So let's pretend he said excellent.
All right, let's see. What did JK write? And we assume this is a guy. It might be a girl. What'd they write, Catfish?
Bubba and Catfish have a nice rhythm, and it makes for good goofball antics.
What?
On top of that,
yeah.
And I've cycled through the Roy Dotrice a number of times, Bubba has a near encyclopedic knowledge of the material.
Oh, thank you.
Pretty good.
Well, it went from good to pretty good. Thank you so much.
No, remember,
much.
It went from good to excellent
oh.
to then pretty good.
our final new review in the U.S. store comes from Amanda in SoCal, and it's 5 stars. The title of this review is Witty and Profound, A Reflection of Our Glorious King Joffrey. Okay,
yeah,
now
yeah.
This is somebody who gets it.
There we go.
Amanda writes, I absolutely love this podcast. It's witty, fun, and surprising, thought-provoking at times. The hosts are a great pair and do an outstanding job. I am now a double L for life.
Double L?
Loyal listener.
Oh,
thank
okay,
you
good.
So much, Amanda. Catfish, I always say it like I'm not sure if you actually remember.
there's lots of things that I don't remember,
right.
But since we have lots of double L's.
We do.
I remember what double L is.
Thank goodness gracious.
There's so many other letters that are covered.
That's true. Okay, we have a review from the United Kingdom
iTunes
from
the
store.
UK.
So please read this one, Catfish.
All right, this is by Alba Kings 123, ALBAKINGZ 123.
Yeah.
He says, 5 stars.
Thank you.
Love it.
Thank you.
I've come here from Podcast Winterfell. Ada is no longer going for the show.
Oh,
that is so sad. And wow, I'm pleased. Great for feeding my need at Game of Thrones. Funny moments, serious moments, awesome moments.
Ooh.
Keep it up. All hail King Joffrey, the one true king of the Seven Kingdoms. Long may he rule. Oh, wait, he's dead.
Hey, way to ruin a wonderful
All right. You know what? But remember, no matter what they've done to him in the show,
yeah,
he's still alive in the books.
He is.
And more importantly, he's still alive in our hearts.
Amen. We got a great review from the great state of Canada. And this review is from somebody called Oafburger. It's 5 stars.
Yes, Oafburger.
And he said, usurpers, are you scared?
They should be.
They should be. He said, this podcast has everything we need to keep King Joffrey in our hearts. The unstraighteners are on the run, and even the Mother's Mercy won't be enough to save them.
Oh, man. I love that. You know, again.
Yeah.
They get it.
They do.
They get it.
Let's go to our last new iTunes review.
Whew.
This is from the great kingdom of Germany, where you and I have been, Catfish.
Oh, yes, we have. We've been to all the great cities in Germany.
Well, I went to 2 cities. How many did you...
I went to 2 as
okay.
well.
Okay, Berlin and Munich, we love you.
This one's called, the name of the review, it says Double P.
Double P?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Okay, all right.
Maybe he's talking about the, oh, sorry, Double P.
Double P.
Perfect podcast.
Thank you, Catfish.
By Sir Max.
Thank you, Sir Max.
Thank you so much for this podcast. I have to admit that I wasn't a believer in Joffrey's chances of a great comeback in season 6.
Uh-oh.
Until your friend Double M stopped talking about the series and I had no choice but to leave Team Winterfell and join Team Joffrey.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right. Knew that Bubba knows at least many of the things King Joffrey allows to happen in Westeros and Essos, but listening to Catfish is a completely new podcast experience to me. Maybe best described as the Jon Snow of podcasts.
Oh no,
you know nothing. Oh God.
Well, this guy is listening. He's paying attention. Thank
good
you, Sir Max.
Listener. All in all, great podcast. Two great guys talking about the greatest character GRRM ever created, and there are over 9,000. Wow.
Whoa.
Double P for perfect podcast.
Thank you so much, Sir Max. So they are entered into the contest. We're going to be giving away our prizes next week. Catfish, we only have 1 episode left.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sad.
Yeah, I am too. This is a sad time in the Seven
Kingdoms.
And
presumably, at least from what we've been told so far,
yeah,
there's only 1 more season left.
You mean 2 more.
2 more seasons left.
Right.
I know nothing.
Oh my!
We're hoping that there's 3 seasons left.
Yeah,
but
that's true. Well, they say the showrunners have always said 7 seasons, which would mean 2 more. But we've had this debate where I think there's going to be a 7th season divided into 2 across 2 years, and you disagree.
I disagree. I think that they're going to do. They wouldn't do like a 6 and 6.
All right. Well, Catfish, let's get to it though. 1 episode left. What do you think you're going to see in this final episode? What do you want to see in the last episode of season 5?
Wow, the last episode of season 5? I'm not sure what I want to see. I want to see whatever they want to show me. I want to see Jaime go back. I want to see I want to see Cersei punished more.
Okay.
And just more.
Okay.
I want to see Arya kill Meryn.
Wow.
And
okay.
I want her to decide, okay, that's it. I need to go back to Westeros and clean out everybody else.
Hmm.
I think I'm ready for her to take over her destiny.
All right. I'm sorry. Did you mention Bolton and Sansa?
We talked earlier. I want Stannis to win.
Okay.
I want Sansa, who I always call Sansa. I want her to personally triumph.
Okay.
Over Ramsay.
Yeah, that'd be
and,
nice.
And not be saved.
Right. That'd be nice. I want, and I think I've been tough on this season. Even I think my favorite episode was last week's.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe the first episode and maybe the fifth episode are the ones I like the best. And the others, I think, have some good stuff in it. But you know what I want? Here's what I really want. I want Dorne to come back next week and there to be some twist. I want there to be something that makes the time that we spent / time we wasted in Dorne. I want there to be a reason why we went there.
Okay,
and
well,
I'm
that's
not
a
sure
good
I've
point. I think that, we want to see the sand. Something happened with the sand snakes.
Right.
Because we're still seeing them, and why,
right.
if
yeah.
not?
And also I have another hope. We have not seen the Greyjoys in who knows how long. Well, I know exactly how long. We saw Papa Greyjoy, Theon's father, Balin Greyjoy, who was one of the leeches that was supposed to die. We saw him last in the last episode of season 3. We saw Theon's sister Yara in episode 5 of season 4, where she went to rescue him, saw what he was, and said, "This isn't worth it." I want the Greyjoys. I want there to be a point to the fact that we followed them all this time. So
okay.
I want to see the Greyjoys again.
You know what? I want to ask our double L's.
Our loyal listeners.
Yes. I want to ask them, what do they want
to
see in this last episode?
Please.
Something, and if it can be, if it's somebody from a previous season,
oh, right.
that's even more interesting.
Oh, let's go back. There's Benjen Stark disappeared in season 1.
Well,
where
don't
is
ruin
he?
It. Let them come up with
okay,
whatever.
Okay. Yeah, please.
So tweet at us.
Please.
And let us know
yes.
What you want to see, and then we'll see who is right or who gets their wishes.
Once again, please check out our newest podcast. It's called Lost-Hope, a Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell podcast. You can find it on iTunes, on Stitcher, all your favorite places for podcasts, and join with us next week for the Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell debut on BBC America. And
right, but let's not forget,
what?
As we always do
yeah.
on the Joffrey podcast,
right.
and we talked about it earlier, is who is our Joffrey of the week?
All right.
It can
yeah,
be
fish.
Someone in the show.
Right.
It could be someone in real life.
Of
it
course.
Could be anybody. It could
Any
be a group of people.
Person.
Whoever represents
Represent.
The spirit of Joffrey himself. Now,
okay.
it's been a long time since we did this. Usually we do it all the time, but I missed it last week, so I'm going to go first this week, and
okay.
I can cover anybody in the last two weeks.
Let's see. Who's your Joffrey of the week?
My Joffrey of the week is the head of FIFA, Sepp Blatter.
Good now, guy.
He's a really good guy, and he's managed to stay in power for quite a number of years. He's even said he was going to retire at certain
oh,
points.
Yeah.
He stayed in power by being a strong
Very
person
strong.
Who knows how to deal with his underlings.
Oh, yeah.
And he knows how to grab and consolidate power. And I will say this. Things look bad for Sepp Blatter right now.
Right.
He just resigned 3 days after he got voted in again as president of FIFA. Mm-hmm. But I will remind you that FIFA cannot hold a vote for another 6 to 9 months.
Whoa.
So that's another 6 or 9 months, and who knows what could happen. Just like with Joffrey, don't count out Sepp Blatter. Catfish's Joffrey of the Week.
Wow, Catfish, you love going to current events. But I am going to give it up to Geek Girl Soup. They are my Joffrey of the Week.
Wow.
Earlier this week, they asked us to do a four-part theory, and our good man Patman23 on his blog to help him do this.
Oh, right, right.
We noticed that White Walker that people are calling Coldemort, or they're calling... They're also calling him Darth Cold. They're also calling him Old Blue Eyes. They're calling him the Night's King. And they're saying, what if the show wants Joffrey back? And what if this Night's King is Joffrey? And so I've done a lot of thinking about this, Geek Girl Soup.
Uh-huh.
So just, Geek Girl Soup, you're my Joffrey of the week for trying to come up with a way for Joffrey to come back onto the show. But I'm going to point out that there's a bit of a difference in that we always said
mm-hmm.
that Joffrey was like Jesus, right?
Well, yes.
And so this Night's King, this White Walker, Coldemort, he brings people back from the dead, right?
He does bring people back from the dead.
But what do we know about Jesus? Jesus only brought himself back from the dead. Very selfish.
Right, right.
Jesus knew who was number one, just like Joffrey was. So if Joffrey could bring everybody back from the dead, he would bring the most important person himself back first.
Right.
And so because of that, I know
this is, Jesus did the miracle of the loaves and the fishes.
Right.
But this is the miracle of the dead wildlings.
Right. You're saying, oh, so maybe he is Joffrey. Now I'm confused. I was sure the Night's King wasn't Joffrey.
No, I'm pretty sure that yeah. He's Joffrey.
Okay. Oh, well, we're going to have to debate this more, listeners.
You know what? Thank God we'll have something that we can talk about
right.
During the sad, long off-season, besides the other two podcasts that we'll be doing
right.
during the off-season.
Winter's coming. For all of us, the long night is coming. That's when this great show on HBO is over. Listeners, tweet at us. Give us iTunes reviews. We got 1 week left. Is there anything else I'm forgetting, Catfish? What, you've got the headphones on. What else do we need to talk about?
I think we've talked about everything.
Okay.
And we need to stop talking before the battery runs out on the recording device.
Oh, no. All right. So, everybody, you'll hear us next time on
the Joffrey of Podcasts.